Whether you're just looking to stay warm during a hunt or need maximum concealment, the clothing you wear can make or break a hunt. At MidwayUSA.com, we understand hunting clothing has come a long way with more meticulously crafted camo patterns, advanced scent control technologies, and weatherproof options to withstand the elements. Hunters have to wait until their favorite season, but shouldn't wait on gear, which is why MidwayUSA offers super fast shipping. When you're ready for your next system, log on to MidwayUSA.com. At MidwayUSA, we know the AR-15 is one of the most popular rifles in modern American history. Known for its modularity and widespread use, it's often considered essential to any gun collection. The essential things you need to run an AR-15 are usually always in stock during shortages, things like magazines and 5.56 ammo. Whether you're looking to buy a new AR-15 or buy parts for your modern sporting rifle, log on and for just about everything for the outdoors, shop MidwayUSA.com.
Blues, it happens every night, and I ain't never met a riverboat dealer that could ever be a friend of mine.
I have. Absolutely not.
Never treats me kind, it leaves trouble on my mind. So I'm bidding farewell, putting in my notes, and I'll see you at another time.
This highway
does not know my name. Care.
Nope. I don't care.
Heading my way for another place, and I got three good tires.
Right to the hook, right here.
Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.
Low. Budget live, not so live, from the Low Budget Live Bar and Grill here in rainy old southern Middle Tennessee today. And this is the podcast for November the 1st, 2021. You heard it right. November the 1st. It's crazy to think this year has been a wild one, to say the very least, and we are winding down, man. Two more months of, just trying to keep it rolling, We got, as you listen to this, I'll be in Lake Charles, Louisiana, up on Cripple Creek down there with the boys from Express Boats, and having a good time at a dealer retreat. Recording this a little bit early because I got to be driving down to that Lake Charles area, going down to Gros Savon somewhere, man, I have dreamed about going. So we're going to finish this year off strong. We got that. And then, of course, next week, the final showdown, the MPFL Championship over at Lake Nickajack on the Tennessee River, top 25 from the MPFL points. So busy 2 weeks. And then hopefully deer hunting takes place, because I haven't been this year, man. I've been seeing some of y'all out there really been getting after it already and seeing some big deer on the ground, but your boy has, I've sat in a tree one time, man. I'm embarrassed. Just haven't been that fired up about it this year. I don't know why. I don't have any of y'all listening to this. Y'all know you get them, those target deer on camera and you get fired up about it. I just don't have anything like that this year. So, you know, hoping that the rut brings that around. And normally where I live, that's around Thanksgiving. So it can bring some new deer our way, whether that's here at the house or one of the farms I hunt. So fingers crossed. But right now, no bueno so far. No freaking bueno. Want to kick the show off today with the sponsors. Got to thank these sponsors before we jump on into everything we got to talk about. And we do have a lot to talk about, but first and foremost, the fine folks at StarTron, StarBright down there in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, bringing you Low Budget Live for going on 4 years now. But more importantly than that, ladies and gentlemen, as these seasons turn, StarTron not only brings you Low Budget Live, but they kick ethanol in the teeth. You putting that You're putting that lawn equipment away, your weed eater, your chainsaw, your lawnmower. Don't let ethanol mess it up that way whenever your wife gets on you next spring and she's all up in your business before you can go fishing by cleaning up the damn yard. And you go to crank that weed eater and it won't crank because you didn't use StarTron. That's on you because they kick ethanol in the teeth day in and day out. If your boat is going to sit idle in the garage for weeks, months at a time coming up, depending on what time of the, you know, what part of the country you live in. A lot of folks like myself, I fish a lot in the winter. But if you're not keeping that thing moving, you better drop you some StarTron in the tank. Keep ethanol from gumming up the works. But we appreciate StarTron for bringing you low budget live and low budget live, not so live for the last few years. All right, Sims, it is getting to be Sims weather around here. We've had a lot of rain and we have had a lot of cold. And by cold for me, I mean like low 40s because I'm not the kind to, especially now with this bald head, man, I ain't out there roaming around. I'm going to have to order me another couple layers from Sims just because these first few nights we've had, that's been a little chilly. Your boy's not handling it well, but the folks at Sims can get you decked out if you are going to be in the elements out there, whether that's waders, if you're out there duck hunting, maybe you're doing a little fly fishing this winter for some trout or something. I don't know. I don't know who all listens to this program, what all hobbies you folks have, but they got you covered, layering gear, waders, rain suits, sun protection if you're somebody that's fortunate enough to need it through these winter months. Maybe you're going to Mexico. Maybe you're going down to Cabo to enjoy yourself. Get you one of them Solar Flex hoodies. But the folks at Sims want me to remind all you lowlifers, you get one life, fish it well. And they've got a documentary right now that they put together. It's on their YouTube called Hardlined about the striper fishery that is the East Coast, and it's kind of declining. And I watched that this morning. Very, very cool, and it's awesome to partner with people like Sims, like Costa, that do care about conservation. That is it makes me proud. Of something to hang their hat on, certainly something to hang mine on as well. That they do care, you know. And look, I know a lot of us are like, well, what about stripers? You know, we're bass fishermen or whatever. But no, I think as anglers, we've all got to be worried about what's going on, right? Whether that's red snapper in the Gulf of Mexico regulations or East Coast, you know, Northeast striper battles that these folks are going through, or the clean water struggles that we see down in Florida, different things, man, it all matters. And as you all know, I don't agree with everything that Bass Pro Shops does in the world, but I do think that the slogan, they had it as a kid, and I think about this every single time I go by a creek. I know this time of year, especially with the leaves falling, but we all live downstream. Remember that. We all live downstream. It's something that always stuck with me as a kid, popped up on Bass Pro Shops ads. You know, we all live downstream with a little leaf floating down the creek, but we do. It's all tied together. So Sims, that's a little more than a sponsor plug, but Sims, they put their money where their mouth is. It's really cool to see most of the time, all the projects they got going, man. So make sure you're following them on all social media, YouTube, and the like. ProGuide Batteries, the fine folks at ProGuide Batteries, making some new lithium batteries just introduced at ICAST this year. They weigh half of what their AGMs weigh. I've been running the AGMs this year up until that point. I'm still running the AGM cranking. You're going to want to go to ProGuideBatteries.com, use code LBL10 for 10% off, and get that power that you deserve to that trolling motor, to those electronics. Go get it. LBL10. Pro Guide Batteries. And last but not least, certainly not least, the best thing that has happened to me in 2021, I dare say. There's been a lot of really good things that have happened. But partnering up with Express Boats and getting to fish out of that X21 this year has been awesome. And like I said, as you guys are listening to this, I get the pleasure of taking out some Express dealers this coming week. Hopefully some lowlifers. Hopefully some of them are actually lowlifers, you know, and cannot wait to spend some time with the Express Boats crew at a wonderful place. And I will report back, of course, next week at how awesome Gros Savon is. But going to go down and get to do some Louisiana fishing out of that X21. Maybe even some saltwater fishing out of it as well down there. So we'll see. There's a lot of opportunities down there in that part of the world. And it's going to be me and Caleb Summerall and Dale Hightower and my man Brandon Dillard. If y'all don't follow Brandon, man, you need to go give him a follow over there. He's in that Lake Louisville, that East Texas area, and he catches them steady all the time. If you like seeing pictures of big bass, which we all do, you're going to want to go follow Brandon. But going to get to spend some time with those guys and a lot of the family there at Express, and looking forward to getting together with the crew. But haven't been in the Express enough lately, and I will touch on that momentarily. But I really appreciate all their support through craziness this year. Those guys have my back, and they, you know, folks like Rory Herndon and Clay Connor, Cole Reed there, shout out Cole. There's and more than I can name on a podcast. There are a lot of really great people, and they have been building excitement since 1966. So thanks to the folks at Express Boats, Hot Springs, Arkansas. All right. Okay, we're going to I got a really good guest today that I'm pumped about, and I've had him on. He's a repeat offender. We're going to get him on a hook, get him on that Eagle Claw hook here in just a little bit. But last week I said, you know, I've been kind of social media absent for a lot of reasons. And so I want to kind of start with that. But then a lot of you reached out, and I can't tell you, I can't even get back to all of you like I should be able to, honestly. And there's so many of y'all that reach out that truly care and support everything that I do. And it means a ton. Like, I want to make sure you understand that. But a lot of folks reached out about Grand Lake. Hey, didn't see in the standings for Grand Lake, didn't that last Bassmaster Open, because I did record last week's show before I left. And unfortunately, I recorded it before a lot of things happened in life. And I feel like we've had too many Debbie Downer LBLs this year, unfortunately. But I think that happens as you get older. I was talking to a good friend of mine about this yesterday. Things just happen. Like, as reality, I guess, sets in a lot as you get older in life, and the friends around you get older, and things happen. But what happened to cause me to leave Grand Lake and come home was something that I still today, November 1st, can't wrap my head around. Don't know that I will. It makes no sense, man. And long story short, without going over a lot of the details, I have it's been a crazy 2 weeks anyways, with, you know, everything that you guys have seen on here and just online, and a lot of other things behind the scenes that people haven't seen in life, regarding like my day-to-day career and different things. Like, there's just lots of changes going on in life, and it's just, you know, it's a lot to deal with and kind of process through and whatever for me right now. And all that being said, you know, Smith Lake had a rough tournament down there for the most part. Was proud of how I kind of rebounded on day two. Day one sucked, and then, you know, that was in the middle of all the, you know, the Turkla BS that just spilled over into my family and all that. And it's just no good. So that happens, and then I got my stuff ready to go to Grand, and I was ready to pull out of the driveway. And a couple days before I left, a friend, a guy I've known pretty much my entire life by the name of Mark Fields, his daughter is a senior with my son Charlie, my stepson Charlie, and my stepson Weston, my youngest stepson, and Mark's son Braden are freshmen in high school together. My wife and Mark's wife are friends, but this guy is a couple years older than me. But we grew up around each other together, and he's coached my kids' ball teams, and, you know, just a lot. And Mark was a journeyman lineman here for our power system. He raced cars, dirt track race. That was his love. F26 was his number. You see it plastered around my little hometown here. A lot of folks when I was in high school used to rock his number on their trucks. That was the cool thing to do, right? And he just had an immense amount of support always. And he was a very charismatic man, loving father, loving husband. And, you know, 42, 43 years old. And a couple days before I left to go to Grand, he was shot. And he lives in a, you know, these are things that do not happen where I live. Okay. They just don't. And he lives in a great neighborhood. A neighborhood that he grew up in, next door to his folks, you know, just kind of hometown. You know, if you live in a small hometown, just think about a lot of the folks you know, and that's Mark and his family. And his dad ran a car lot here in our hometown my entire life. Like, just everybody's intertwined with this family. And he was shot in his neighborhood and in his yard by a man that was his next door neighbor over a dog. As stupid and as crazy as that sounds, this piece of garbage shot at his dog. Mark and a couple other guys I know were actually in his shop getting ready for his daughter's homecoming float. It's homecoming week here in Lawrenceburg, Tennessee, last week, and they were getting ready to do that. And he went outside, the guy had shot, and he goes outside, and I don't know all the dirty details, and I'm not going to, you know, get into it, but this man turned and shot at him, and unfortunately was successful, and did multiple times with a .22. Then he turned it on himself, because he realized, I guess, what he had done, and couldn't deal with it. But it wasn't one of those, just shoot one time. My man decided to shoot multiple times, and he made it, but Mark didn't. And Mark, unfortunately, he got a good report the morning. I waited a while. My family just wasn't dealing well with it, and neither was I. And I waited until the last possible minute, and I left for Grand on Sunday afternoon about 1 or 2 o'clock. It's a 9 or 10 hour drive for me. So I got out there, you know, almost midnight. And Marissa reached out when I got out there to tell me that Mark had an inoperable brain bleed that night and he wasn't going to make it. And, you know, I got up and I practiced Monday morning for a little bit. I talked to my buddies, Sam George and Justin Atkins, and I called Brad Knight. And, you know, I kicked it around and I was talking to Marissa a lot. And I was talking to my kids and just the level of hurt that everybody was. And, you know, I practiced around there and I look up at like 5 o'clock and I just made like a gigantic circle right there around Wolf Creek at Grand Lake. I had not gone very many places all day long. And I decided for me and my family that I needed to withdraw from the event and go home. Just couldn't get it together, man. I couldn't. And that's just full disclosure. And I felt like I needed to be in my community. I felt like I was very selfish at being at a bass fishing event 10 hours away while everybody at home was dealing with all of this and not knowing how to deal with it and not knowing how to process something so freaking senseless. And so I came home. I called Chris Bowes and told him, and I have to say, a huge shout out to Bass and to Chris Bowes. He just got a promotion. I want to congratulate him on that. But they are fantastic people to work with. And they run, those opens are absolutely, I've mentioned it here several times, but they are ran to precision. And it really, I don't agree with everything all the time, you know, but really they he's a class act, man. And I talked to him and I came on home. You know, and it was hard. That was a hard decision for me because I love it so much. And really, tournaments are a distraction for me from reality a lot of times, right? Like, it just is. Like, fishing is that for so many of us. And I just couldn't do it, man. I couldn't do it. So I came home and been with family. And we buried Mark on this past Sunday. And it's hard, man. It's one of the hardest, you know, funeral services I've ever or will ever sit through. And, you know, my thoughts and prayers go out to his lovely wife and his two kids, because it's just, it's not fair. It's not fair. So, but that's why, you know, that's going into a lot of detail about life, but that's why I left Grand Lake. It's too much going on sometimes. That's real life, right? You know, I joke about that. The internet's not a real place, or, you know, the bass fishing world's not a real place, but it's very real to all of us. You know, that tournament where we all take it very serious, or you wouldn't be here right now and I wouldn't be doing this, right? It is a, you know, it's our life, but there are some times that it definitely needs to take a back seat to real things. And that's, you know, that was one of those weeks. So, but I appreciate again, everybody that reached out, everybody that text, everybody that, you know, like, hey, what's going on? And I finally kind of, I came back a couple, you know, 3 or 4 days ago to social media and made a post about it. And I hadn't been, you know, I hadn't been on there much. And made a post and just to kind of let everybody know where I was at. And because of the concern, and I appreciate each and every one of you. So, all right. Appreciate you. Appreciate all of you. And so many of y'all commented when you saw my post about Mark, about, you know, thoughts and prayers, and you were tagging his wife. And that means a lot. It means a lot, you know, and I hope his kids feel that. I hope his mom and dad, his sister, his brother-in-law, John, are all good friends. And I hope they feel that love. And I know they did from our community. You know, out of the dark always comes a light, right? And we saw that in that funeral service. It was I don't know, man. It was much needed for me to see that kind of overwhelming positivity in my team. It was something. So, rest in peace to F-26. This old town will never be the same. That is for sure. All right. So, moving on. Congratulations are in order for several people before we get to our guest of the day, of the hour here. But a huge congratulations to Nick LeBrun. Nick LeBoom is, wow, Chris Jones used to call him. Nick LeBrun, LeBron James. He was in contention at Smith Lake in the Central Open. Made the top 10, was leading it going into the final day, then has a, you know, a tough final day. Of course, Jay Prosz ends up winning that event, but goes out to Grand, man, and just my buddy MPFL angler John Sokup was leading it going to day three. Nick just said, no, this is my time. This is my time now. And won the thing, man, in big fashion. He was catching bigs on Fox Sports, FS1. It was very cool. Very cool to see for Nick. Nick's a very, very nice guy. I don't know Nick well. I've been around Nick, obviously, at events between FLW and the like, but Bassmaster Opens, but he's a fine fella. And congratulations to Nick on that. Congratulations to all the Opens qualifiers. There were several. Congrats to my little buddy Sammy George on a great year. The way Bass did it this year, he came up short on making the elites in the overall. He finished fourth by 10 points. Jacob Prosnick double qualified, which is just incredible to even say. But Prosnick won the Opens AOY, and he finished third in the Centrals, which double qualified him. But Bass's rule states they go, I think it's a rule, or their policy, whatever. I think they let everybody know at the first of the Opens this year in the Southerns. But they called down the Central points list. So my buddy Joseph Webster benefits. He gets in, which is well-deserving veteran guy. But they don't call down. They did the same thing last year, but they don't call down in that overall list of guys that fish 9 Opens, that spent that money, that don't just fish more. And I understand why people just fish one division. I did it this year. It's all I've got time for. I hope I've even got time for one next year, right? But I do feel like it penalized Sam big time. Big time. You know, he paid that money, fished all over the country. And look, I would say this. I said this last year. Even if it wasn't somebody that I know what the blood, sweat, and tears they put into this. But it sucks, and they are, to Bass's credit, changing it for next year. Of course, when you're a guy like Sam, it's too little too late, you hear that, and it sucks. It sucks. I do think that I feel like in the opens that you should have to fish all of them to qualify for the Elite Series. After fishing them and after being around, I do think, and that doesn't work out for everybody, but to me, if you are going to pursue a career as an Elite Series angler, you got to be able to fish more than just three tournaments, time-wise, you know? Text our guest. All right. Text our guy. I'm always running late. When I tell somebody a time, I'm always running late. But I, you know, I felt bad for Sam, man, because it's a roller coaster. I talk to Sam every practice. I talk to Sam, you know, at all the events he fishes, not just the ones I fished this year, but I talk to Sam a lot. You know, we roomed together on tour the last year I fished. Been knowing Sam since he was like 12 years old. And I don't know mentally how you overcome that, getting so close, because, dude, he had a hell of a year. Now, he had a couple of rough finishes, but out of nine tournaments with 200-and-something boats from freaking New York to Florida and everywhere in between, like, it's going to happen. And you're not allowed to have one bad day in those opens. But and look, all the folks that got it done, you know, congratulations, 1,000,000%. The man we're going to talk to today got it done, just like Josh Douglas got it done, just like Jacob Rosnick. But in the end, Sammy came up a little short, and that's one fish somewhere. That's one fish at Smith. He struggled there, struggled at the James River, but Bass, glad to hear they are changing that rule, because I'd like to see them take, like, whatever the number is, 9 or 10 guys out of that overall list. That puts more emphasis on guys fishing all of the events. But congrats to all those. That is such a feat to make it, to qualify points-wise. Like, just holy crap. That Central Division was such a roller coaster at that last event. There were guys that caught them. There were guys that weren't just bombing the event, but, man, they fell out of it points. It was crazy to see, because Joseph Webster had the lead going in, and then all of a sudden he's in like sixth after day one. It was crazy to keep up with, and if you're a bass fishing nerd like myself. But huge congrats to all the guys that made it. Bummed out for my buddy Sammy. He deserves his chance over there, and he'll get back. He'll get back there. I know the future holds a lot of good bass fishing wealth and fame for my buddy Sammy George, to say the least. One quick thing before we get our guest, another set of congratulations, All-American qualifiers. I'm not going to go through the list, just going to name the folks that I know. And huge congratulations to JK, Justin Kimmel from Bass U. He's going to fish the NPFL next year. Making the All-American, such a hard tournament to make and prestigious tournament. But then another guy that made it to the same regional, and this is just when I dipped back into social media, I'm late on all this. Laker Howell, Randy Howell's son, his oldest son, Laker, you know, the first big kind of victory, quote, in fishing that Randy had was making the All-American at pretty much the same, maybe younger than, like, I think Randy holds the record being like 16 years old, Megan. But pretty awesome to see, man, right there. Laker's a good kid, and I know Randy and Robin are super pumped about that. Maybe he can go win him 100 G's out there in daggum. I think it's in Hot Springs next year, Lake Hamilton. You know what else is in Hot Springs? Express boats, the same. All right, my guest today is a young man that he's been on the show one time before, and believe it was last year. I don't know. I should keep some kind of record. I don't know. But I had him on. He won back-to-back week. Yeah, he won a college event and then a Toyota event, back-to-back weeks, down at Toledo Bend. He's a Missouri angler. And it blew my mind. I mean, just reading about it, like he was live scoping, and it was like standalone pattern was just very different than everybody else. And then I watched a video of him talking through it, and I was like, holy cow, this kid is something, man. He just kind of stands out, right? And then I got to know him a little bit better, had him on the podcast, of course, and was just blown away talking to him. And then I've had the fortune of getting to know him a little bit better through the opens this year, and then he went and won the Central Division points and is going to the Elite Series. He fished the Pro Circuit this year over there with MLFLW, and he's moving on, man. He's going to the Bassmaster Elite Series, and we're going to chat it up with him right now. Right now, Mr. Actually, I was calling the wrong person. Hit the wrong button, guys. We're going to talk to him right now, Mr. Cody Huff. See if we can hear him.
What's going on?
What's going on, Cody Huff? Nothing like. I'm like 3 or 4 minutes late. We're okay. I had to leave Grand because of an emergency here in my hometown, and I was trying to explain that to folks because I haven't done a podcast since, and then that got me rambling about all kind of other stuff, and then here we are. Well, Cody Huff, you know how this low budget life goes.
Hey, that's what it is, man. Low-budget life, you can't have it any different.
That's right. That's how it's going to go. But, man, I talked about in the beginning, we were, I didn't know a lot about you. I'd heard your name through the ranks in college and stuff, and then you won Toledo Bend in a college event, and then you're like, well, hey, I don't have anything else going on next week. I think I'll go back down there and just win a Toyota Series. So you did that. And then I was like, this dude right here, you better be paying attention to. So reached out to you, got you on the podcast, and absolutely loved our talk. And then I've gotten to know you a little bit better this year fishing the Opens. I've been fortunate enough to run into you at those. And I want to start by saying all that, but to say freaking congratulations, dude. It is those Opens are so hard, and you won that Central Division points title.
Yeah, man. Coming into that last tournament, I didn't really even know it was possible. You know, I did, but I really didn't. I was like, I know how these guys are. They're not going to slip a whole lot, but I'm just going to go fishing and hope I can have the best tournament possible. And man, it all just went in my favor.
Another top 10.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was a good week. It went way better than expected. You know how practicing is on those shallow places like that.
I just never know, right?
This few bites doing that. Never really set the hook on anything. So I was like, we'll see how it goes.
So you did commit just fully, and I watched you a little bit there on FS1, and then I saw some of the baits you were throwing on Bass's galleries and stuff. But you did just fully commit to shallow water.
I mean, basically, that's what I ended up having to do. But I actually got on some spoonfish in practice. I found like 4 schools that I really thought I'd go back to and catch 3-pounders out of.
I can go
do this after I, you know, get 3 or 4 good ones shallow, and then maybe go do this and catch a few good ones doing this. But we just never really, I don't know, they never really worked for me. I don't know what the deal was, but I never could relocate them. I actually spent about an hour looking for them. On about all 3 days of the tournament, and I never ran back into them. And I really thought out of like 5 schools, I could surely run back into them sometime or another, but I never did.
Is that those deeper schools, having been to Grand, is that more of a lower end thing because of the water clarity? Because man, where I only got to practice one day, and then obviously I had to come home, but yeah. The water color was just awful where I was at.
Yeah, that mid-lake up area was pretty blown out, so I kind of got back down to where the water was normal, you know. I really didn't think the dirty water would affect the fish as much as it did, but I couldn't get bit in. I just did no good at all when I was in that dirty water.
We were there for a tour event in 2019, and if not the toughest tournament I've ever fished, it was right up there, and I think I weighed 5 in 2 days, and I missed a $10,000 check by just ounces. And
that's incredible.
Yeah, and when you got bit, it was a big one. Like, I think my 5 weighed like 18. I don't remember. I caught a 7-pounder the last day, but, like, dude, it was so hard to get bit. But this was almost the first week of April. But the water, you know, from the river to the dam was so dirty. And I think Jeremy Lawyer actually ended up winning that event, but like he wins a lot of them out in that region. It just kind of just happens. But dude, it was so, that lake frustrates me because of those situations. Like in dirty water, you're like, it's Oklahoma. You guys shouldn't be affected by this.
Right.
But they get that way on that place.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know a whole lot about Grand. Believe it or not, that's actually the first tournament I've ever fished on Grand. It's only about 2 hours and 45 minutes from my house, but, you know, we got so many other good places to fish. I don't ever go out there. So I'm not going to sit here and act like I know everything about that place, because I don't at all. So, I mean, I just, you know, everybody you talk to from around there, you know, it's got good color all the time, kind of like the Ozarks color.
Mm-hmm.
You would think, I mean, they just, it wouldn't bother them, but it sure seems to affect them. Those fish are crazy picky on that place. Man. I guess they just get so much pressure, you know what I mean? I don't blame them.
That's right. And it's so funny that you just said that about Live 2 hours. That was a quote I read from you on Bassmaster.com. You said, listen, I've never even been here. Like, I'm an Ozarks guy, but like, this is kind of in the Ozarks, but not really. And it does kind of, there are a lot of guys from that general area that do fish grand because it comes up in y'all's regional, you know, like team tournament stuff or BFLs or whatever. But it I always think it is funny that it's kind of lumped into that Ozarks type lake, but it's really not.
No, it's not. It's, but like you said, it's always in some of our championships or, you know, stuff like that. They always end up taking us there. And I've been so busy, I don't have time to fish a lot of those anymore.
Right.
So I don't ever get to go out there. But that place is crazy similar to just a mini Lake the Ozarks, because that's kind of how I treated it this week. And, I mean, it was scary how similar it was.
That's interesting. You know, I've never fished Lake the Ozarks in my entire life, which is in all my travels kind of surprises me. I've got good friends. I've worked up there for TH Marine in that general. I've never put a boat in on Lake of the Ozarks, not one time. But I heard the same thing in our MPFL there. Brandon Perkins, who's doing well in the tournament, was leading our Angler of the Year until the last day. He told me that when I was interviewing him for our live coverage. He said, Lake of the Ozarks. He said, I've never been here. This place reminds me of Lake of the Ozarks. He said, I'm doing the exact same thing that I do when I go there this time of year to get bit, and it's working. And that's interesting how that can play out in certain regions of the country.
Right. No, absolutely. It's a cool place. I mean, I like it. I'll be friends with Grand now.
You guys are close.
We get along for now. Yeah, it's all good.
What you really want, though, you really want these tournament trails to come to Bull Shoals, though, right?
Oh, God. I'm just dying for it, slobbering for it. I know it'll happen. It's just how it is. They've done it in the college circuit when I was fishing it. The 1 week they come in the middle of April when every fish in the whole lake is playing on the bush.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, golly.
And everybody catches them?
Everybody destroys them. You know, this just 14 pounds for everybody. Just go get
it. Yeah. Yeah. Just you wake up with it in your live well. You leave the dang Ramada Hotel there, Mountain Home or whatever, and you got 14 pounds. Yeah. It is true, man. But that is where you cut your teeth. I know we talked about it before, and you and I've talked about it a lot in person. It's impressive. And if y'all listening, you don't follow Cody on social media, please make sure you are. He's fixing to head into a journey on the Elite Series. And I've been keeping up with him ever since I got to know him. And he posts some impressive stuff. This man is a big bass snatcher and a deer killer, and he is kind of everything in between, man. I'm jealous that he's so young and he just gets it done all the time. But you weigh in some impressive stringers on Bull Shoals, man.
Man, I'm telling you, honestly, it is probably one of the most underrated lakes in the country, because this place is scary. I mean, there are big ones, and it's just getting better and better. I mean, it's kind of a cool lake. It doesn't set up like any other lake around. It's a catch-all for all these other lakes on the White River chain. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the times it's flooded. I mean, it'll get, you know, 30, 40 feet to stay that way. So as much as this thing changes, the fish change with it. Every water level is different. There's different places you can catch them at every water level. You got to remember all that stuff, you know?
Oh, yeah.
It's cool. I mean, there are more 3 to 5 pounders in this place. I would almost say there's as many as there are in a Pickwick or something like that, to be real honest with you. Because, I mean, having this, all the water levels changing and having all this cover in the water, we've got 30 feet of bushes. That's just like having hydrilla. I mean, they have all the cover in the world to survive.
I agree. What
so it's pretty special.
What makes those White River lakes, though, they're notorious for changing? Why do they change? And I'm talking about from one year to the next, obviously, which they do, but I'm talking about day to day. Like, you can be standing on that stage holding up 2 5-pound largemouth on Bull Shoals, and then the next day you're like, well, I don't know what happened. But they're notorious for that, man. Why is that?
They are. You know, I really, I think it's the over. I think they're so concentrated on threadfin on all these places because, I mean, we have a lot of gizzards, but, you know, the main forage is threadfin, and they're swimming all the time. You know what I mean? They're just, they don't hang out in one place. I don't know. It's hard to say, but those clear water fish, they could just get in the mood and not want to bite.
Or a little bit of pressure, a little bit of noise, a little bit of something. Yeah, there's, you know, from fishing beaver for years, I've fished table rock a lot. Fished bull shoals a couple times out, you know, working. Used to, obviously, was with Ranger Boats for a while, but then working out there in that region for TH, it's been my territory for like 8 years. So I've done some poking around out there on bull shoals, and it is an impressive fishery that I don't understand why it doesn't get the mainstream tournament love. That a lot of, like, because it's a great venue, man. It's a big lake. It's got anything you could want for drama, for big time tournament fishing.
It's a lot of fun. I mean, I think if we had any towns, you know, decently close, they'd have a little more. But you know, I don't know why, but it doesn't seem like anybody wants to drive to Mountain Home, even though it's, you know, 15 minutes from the dam. They act like that's too far.
Yeah.
So,
hey,
whatever. I mean, that's probably what keeps this place good.
I was going to say,
never see a boat.
We're all tournament fishermen, and we all tend to go, man, I don't know why we don't have tournaments there, but it's probably a blessing in disguise you don't. Now, as a fan of the sport and following the sport and everything, and I like to go to Good Lakes, I'd love for them to have an open or something. I can go fish there and have an opportunity to compete on a place like that, but I've seen what pressure does to Pickwick. I've seen what it does to Guntersville, Chickamauga, all these, like, even places like St. Clair or the St. Lawrence River. You see what tournament pressure does to these places, and it certainly can hurt. So that's it. That's all we're going to talk about bull shoals. Y'all forget you heard that. And I'm going to make Cody take me fishing there when people forget that we even said anything we just said about bull shoals. Right. But I do have a lot of good friends in that area, and they all tell me the same thing. Like, this place is, it's special. Well, dude, to be your age and to be in the position you're in, I just got to know, leading the points, winning the points. I mean, dude, how are you feeling headed in? You got till basically February to kind of get your butt in gear here to get ready to fish the Bassmaster freaking Elite Series, man.
Dude, I am on cloud nine, to say the least. It's kind of one of those things that's hard to even understand that you made it. You know what I mean?
I
the first tournament you get out there, and all the guys that I've always looked up to are there. You know, I'll kind of look around and go, you know, this actually is the big show.
Here we go. It's time. Yeah. It's time. Did you get a call? I have to know this because on the first podcast we did, and this has been documented in other articles with you and stuff, but how long did it take before Mr. Klun reached out to you?
He's usually pretty good about, you know, after every tournament, he gives it a day. You know what I mean?
He knows the drill.
Through. Oh, yeah. He's been, you know, it's happened to him a million times. You know, he's gets blown up, but he called me that night whenever I was driving home after the final day. We got to visit about it. That's just really a pretty special deal. I've always dreamed of getting to fish against him, you know what I mean, on the elites, and I'm glad I'm going to get the chance.
Now, are you going to stay? Are you guys going to talk? Are you going to – I mean, how does that work? Because now it's like – the mentor and you know, the student and the teacher or whatever. Now he's like, that gummit, Cody's coming for my money, son. How's that going to work?
I hope he still points me in the right direction. I'm sure he will. But, no, I think that'll be pretty awesome because you know how it is in all these circuits. You know, you're not allowed to get information.
That's right.
We're going to go to some of these places that I don't know a thing about. So, I mean, that's going to be pretty awesome to have somebody I can actually trust on tour that's been to these places that it's okay to talk to, you know what I mean?
That's last name is Klun.
That's last name is Klun.
Who is the bass fishing encyclopedia from A to Z, in my opinion, from, you know, man.
Remembers every article that's ever been published about that lake.
Yes.
Who's ever won in time.
So incredible, man. That was one of my favorite things because I didn't know that until you came on the podcast. I just knew you guys were from the same area, same town even. And you're like, oh, actually, you know, Klun is a friend and a mentor. And I'm like, oh my gosh, man, that gave me chills. And so I wondered about that night when I see that you made it. I thought, Man, I know Klein is so pumped for Cody in this situation, man.
He definitely is. I tell you what, I think it was the second day weigh-in. Well, he texted me the first day, too, but the second day, I get a text from Polinick as soon as I weigh in.
Yeah.
I just walked off the stage. He said, game over. And, you know, that just sent chills down my spine.
So cool.
I was like, golly, man. So many of these guys are just – they're such good guys, and they're looking out for you. It's just special.
Well, man, I think it comes down to – because, like I said, I've gotten to know you, been around you, and I think it's that old – it's kind of a cliche saying, but that real recognizes real. And I think that these guys, man, you do have what it takes. And you are a young man, but you have such a bright future in this, and guys like Brandon and Rick and many others, they recognize that, man. And you put in the work, you do things your way, and it's all falling into place, dude. I think it's so awesome to see. As you get ready, talking about that no information and all that, do you look ahead? I mean, have you already started? I mean, Grand's over. We're in the off season. I know you're a big deer hunter, but are you like, maybe I should start taking a look at some of these lakes? Like, what's your progression now that you're running through getting ready for the Elite Series?
Yeah, I mean, it's all so new to me. I don't really even know. I'd be lying if I told you right now. But, I mean, I've been looking the schedule over, thinking things over, seeing where I've been, where I haven't been. And I really think this year, for the most part, I'm going to try to just concentrate on the elites and not fish anything else. You know what I mean? The last couple of years, I fished everything.
Everything, yeah.
And I think it'll be really nice to just be able to concentrate on it and not trying to get any higher. You know, that's where we're at the top of the top. We don't have to go fish this trail and everything just to try to make it. You know what I mean? It's like I can concentrate on these tournaments that I've got on my schedule right now and just put everything into those.
That's probably a very wise move, I would say.
Yeah.
You know, and everybody faces, you know, looks at it differently. Some guys fish as much as they can fish and they think that helps them. But man, I just think that is such a big task in that Elite Series. Cause those guys, like you said, top of the sport, they're going to catch them every single time. So you got to bring it. So I think that is wise. Will you do any pre-fish trips at all before cutoffs, anything like that?
You know, I probably will for some of them. Just a few of those ones I've never been to, if they're not just, you know, crazy, crazy far. If I can get away with it and have some time freed up in the schedule, I think that's definitely not a bad idea.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Well, then what? One last topic, just, and I appreciate your time, man, so much. And this is something that I know you get asked, I get asked a ton, but I think people listen, especially young folks, from a sponsor perspective, have you seen, because we all, you know, we chase that carrot, whether it's the Elite Series, BPT, whatever the case is, you've reached that level. Do you have that sponsor support for year one? Have people made additional commitments to you since Grand? Are you still trying to nail some of those things? I know this is very soon after Grand, but are things in motion for you in that sense? Because I know you've had the support of Bass Pro and Nitro. You've been with them a while, Garmin, different companies, but are you seeing that already?
Yeah, I definitely am. There's definitely a turn in the tables. You can tell the attitudes get a little different whenever something of this nature happens. That's good. Everything's been going well so far. We've got, you know, we don't have everything just nailed down completely. A lot of us are still talking things over, but on the other hand, I've talked to several of my partners and they're all in. You know, they're
that's awesome.
To death and they're doing everything they can do to help, and I'm just very, very thankful.
Isn't it funny? You said the tides have turned, darkness. That's what you said. The dang the tables have turned. The beggars get begged all of a sudden. But it is what, you know, because we all are. The fisherman's handshake, and if you're watching this, you can see me. The fisherman's handshake, we all got our hands out like, hey, what can you give me? And that is at every stage of fishing. That's what makes this all possible. So it is nice to hear, because there are a lot of guys – when they first make that Elite Series, that you hear the nightmares of this, and it's just how the industry works, because there are so many great anglers and there's so many great influencers that aren't tournament fishermen. Marketing dollars get split up, And just because you make the Elite Series a lot of times doesn't mean that. But I think for you, a guy that's worked so hard, you've got your face out there, man, you have been absolutely killing it. It's great to hear that you're going to have people on your side, man. That's very funny, though. You're like, yeah, the conversations are a little different now. I love that, man.
I think it's just – it's all – you know, it's like God has placed every little piece in order. Just at the perfect time, everything's happened. You know what I mean? Just along this whole journey.
That's awesome, man.
Same deal this week. You know, I've worked with these companies for a couple of years. You know, I've not changed with – I've not left – like the same people I started with is who I'm with now, and we've got to grow together. They've got to watch me grow, and you know, we've got really close relationships, and it just, I think it's all going to work out just fine.
It's going to be a fun 2022 for you, your family, and all of us keeping up, man. I appreciate you coming on. And, dude, I wish you the best of luck next year.
Absolutely, man. Thanks for having me on. It's always a good time. It's good to talk to you. And like I said, don't forget about me. This winter, we'll go have some fun.
Trust me, I've got a trip out that way in December, and your phone will ring.
I figured it would.
It's coming. Just know right here, this is recorded evidence, Cody Huff, right here.
Thanks,
man. All right, man. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, Cody Huff. Central points champ, and just out there getting it done. Now, second place in those centrals, and I cannot say his name, and I want to have him on too. Jay Prizkaret, something along those lines. Now, Jay, I'm going to pull this up right here real quick. Jay, truly, now this is coming from several folks that know Jay. Jay fished. He literally fished as a co-angler. This was his first year fishing the Opens, and he knocked out a dang Elite Series berth. First year fishing as a pro. And that is it's pretty impressive, ladies and gentlemen. So shout out to him as well. And then, of course, Jay Prize getting to kiss that AOI trophy and making it through the Centrals. But, yeah, Jay, I apologize for butchering your name. I don't know how to say it. And I never heard Chris Bose say it. Okay, I wasn't, and Chris probably would have butchered it too. Let's just be honest, okay? Love you, Chris. Got to give him a hard time. There's such an influx of these Japanese anglers coming into the Elite Series. I can't say any of their names either, but with fear of butchering them. And it's always funny because Chris, I feel like, pronounces them all different every time he calls them across the stage. And he has to call them a lot because, other than Kenta Kimura, I feel like he nails that one and I nail that one. But a couple of the other guys, they're a little tricky for us, for a Southern boy like me and a former New Yorker like Mr. Bose. But want to say to Chris again, congrats. He got a promotion there at Bass, and it's awesome to see good people getting rewarded for that. And congrats again to all the Elite Series qualifiers. Probably won't get to have any of the Japanese guys on unless my boy Sato will come and interpret my redneck to them, and they're Japanese to me because I'm not good. I'm not good at that. I can't do it. Appreciate each and every one of you. Make sure you go watch Boats and Pros with Andy Morgan that dropped last week. If you haven't seen it yet, greatly appreciate that. Appreciate each and every one of you tuning in every single week to this. And the support and the messages and the comments, it means more than y'all will ever know, especially in the last couple weeks. It's awesome to know that some folks are thinking about you and on your side. So y'all are awesome out there, you bunch of low lifers. Gonna take you out with Biloxi Blues. Remember to hug your mama. And I will see y'all next time.
Damn these Biloxi Blues, it happens every night. And I ain't never met a riverboat dealer that could ever be a friend of mine. The summer heat never treats me kind, it leaves trouble on my mind. So I'm bidding farewell, putting in my notice, and I'll see you at another time.
highway does not know my name, and I don't care. No.